Gracious God and our Father, we want to thank you for this time that God has given to us this morning. Sit together under the sound of thy holy scriptures. Let the still, silent voice of the Lord speak to each one of us. May for speaking and hearing you may give the needed grace from above. May the name of the Lord be glorified and we be encouraged and edified in our Christian life and walk with you. Help us, Lord, as we spend and meditate on thy words. May God be with us and guide us and lead us. As we depend upon you, may the Lord help us. In the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know which way should I make it known to you. This is something which is the foundational or the very basic of our Christian life. Biblical separation. And we wanted to see it in seven aspects. First, we call it biblical separation in precepts, the doctrines. Second, in principles, the devotion. Third, in practice, the duty. Fourth, in priority, the determination. Fifth, in prayer, the desire aspect. Sixth, in promises, the delight aspect. And number seven, biblical situation in power, the done aspect. Today we come to the third one, and it is biblical separation in practice. Will you please turn with me to the epistle of James? Hebrews comes James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 19. James 1:19. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James chapter 1 and verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Every page of the scripture you'll find the emphasis is given that whatever we learn and study from the scriptures may be practiced in our Christian life. As you see, there is so much of advancement in this world today. You see, in every sphere of activities of man's life, there is progress, advancement, technologically also. As we see the progress in different fields, so we see that there is much scope and ability for man to sin is also increasing, advancing. In the olden days, they did not have those kind of things to be tapped into, to be attracted to. And things have become so easy. If you remember the days, sometimes take time out to read the brethren history. Our Appachin and Amachis, their sacrifices, I tell you, maybe your great-great-grandfather and mother, the sacrifices which they have made, tremendous. Tremendous. Whenever I think of it, you know, I really shiver, because they really paid the cost of the gospel. And today, the saddest part in our Christian life and in Christendom today, even in our assemblies, is that there are many good speakers, many good preachers, many good teaching, good exhaustive expository preaching and teaching and doctrines. As you heard my previous brethren also standing, and they began their session by saying, there are no practices among us. It's the saddest part. Even among this small group of ours, if each one of you make a determination, whatever I learn from God, I will put into practice in my life. I will live that kind of life. Now our question is, we know the truth. You know it is good. But the problem that you and I face is the inclination of our heart. That's why Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. What do you mean by that? Even if you're a born again child of God, you still have the old nature in you and in me. That old nature has a strong hold in our heart and our life, making us to go backward, making us to do evil things. Even though we know this is not good and I should not do, but I find myself doing the same thing. I know this is good and I should do, but I find I'm not doing that. Why is it? The guts of the hurt which are within, always make us to do sin, make us to commit and go against the word, against God, against that which is good. It happens with every one of us. And now we want to know, when all that is true, how do we really apply it practically in our life? How is it possible to do that? Is it possible to live a practical Christian life? May I tell you, our God is not God who will say you something which you cannot perform. Yeah? Even as far as the temptation is concerned, Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation will also provide the way of escape. Dear young children, we want to know this morning, how can I apply the precepts and principles practically in my Christian life? Now I know this is the road. I know things are well marked. There are dividers, there are signs, and everything is fine. But now how do I move about? I know roads are good. I know there are bridges. I know these are the signs. But how do I go about? Practically, how do I do that? I have seen the road, I have read the signs, but how do I go about it? How do I apply those things in our life, in my life? I want to give you some very practical tips, maybe from a familiar scripture to you, or sometimes it may be unfamiliar to you. The first question that we can always ask to ourselves is, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as a man, he faced the same problem that you and I face today. He had four options. And every one of us in this world, you will find following either of those four options. How did the Lord Jesus Christ practice in his days when he was here? That's a good way of studying the scripture or knowing things. First of all, if I had to say, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a group of people known as Pharisees. Pharisees. Those who knew the scriptures, studied the scriptures, learned it. And they had one motto in their life. The motto of Pharisees was always to go back. The motto of their life was go back. Go back to what? Go back to traditions. Go back to fathers. Go back. Go back. Go back. You'll always find them returning back to the law, returning back to the traditions. Always they are concerned about it. Then there was another group of people. They are known as Sadducees. What was the motto of their life? I'm not just going in details about this thing. I want to touch it and go a little ahead to give you some practical tips. These people used to say, Sadducees, go forward. What is that go forward? They said, come on, traditions of no good. Old things, yeah, forget about all that. Do something new. Go forward. So they said there are no angels. They said there is no resurrection of death. They wanted to do something new. They wanted to claim something new. A group of people who had a motto saying go forward. There were some other people. They are known as Qumran. Why Qumran? Because these were the people, they said, no, if we have to live a good, godly, spiritual life, we need to be separated from this crowd. Not to follow what the Pharisees say, not to follow what the Sadducees say. Go back and go forward. No. Their motto was what, you know? Can you say? Go away. And they went and stayed in caves. That's why some of the scrolls that we receive They're found in the caves of Qumrans. That's why these people are known as Qumrans. Their motto was, go away, live a secluded life, away from all this crowd, away from the world, away from the things which will entangle us and spoil our life and relationship with God. So they said, let us go away. But there was still one more class of people. They are known as zealots. And what was their motto? They said, what is to go back and go forward and go away? Forget about all this. These were the terrorists of their day. And their motto was, go against all of this. Now if you study this simple thing, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had all of these people around him. Okay? And even today, you'll find people following either of these four options in their life also. As said earlier, at the end, we will have the test also. So please pay attention. Go back, go forward, go away, go against. And you will find people of this world following either of these things. Old apparitions and all, they will say, no, yangalde samayathilinga illayirunnallo. We were not like this. In our days, it was like that. Old apparitions, they will always say about their days gone by. Youngsters, come on. Yaar, something new. Aajkal zamana badal gaya, sab kuch badalna chahiye. Kuch alag karo, yaar. Kuch hatke karo. Aisa kiya to kya farak padta hai? Waisa kiya to kya farak padta hai? Na? They want to do something new. Yeah? Then there is still another group of people. What do you say? If you have to leave, no good in going to assembly. All politics. You know? People fight against one another. On face, they are very good. In heart, they are not right. In their practical life, they are not living Christian life. It's better, forget about the assembly, forget about the gatherings, better be at home. God is everywhere, isn't it? Why not to be at home? Let us be away from all that. People have left gatherings. People have left things which need to be good for our spiritual life and growth. Some say, no. Wherever they are, they will create trouble. Troublemakers, you know. They will always be against. So shall we have convention this year? And then a convention, what's the use of it? So far nobody has come to know the Lord. All these big expenses, why to do that? Go against. Shall we have some Bible studies? No. This time, no. This is not the right period, not that time. They will always be against, finding some or other nooks into it. What I'm trying to tell you, how did the Lord Jesus Christ handle all these types of things that were in his days also, which are there in our days today also? Please do not participate with any groupism. God hates that. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He went to the Pharisees. He went to the Sadducees. He corrected them. He pointed them out. He went to the Qumrans. He touched the zealots. And you'll find in the group of those of his followers, people from all of this class, what was the motto of the Lord Jesus Christ then? I will say, go with. Go with. Why do I say that, dear children? Biblical separation is not an isolation. No. It is something unique that God has called you and me to live for. Being in the world but not part of the world. Living in the world but not having desires or liking the world. In the world but not of the world. What do you mean by that, uncle? Still we want to know something more practical. I want to turn your attention to a very familiar scripture. Psalms 1. Psalms 1. And as you see that Psalm 1, will you please turn to that? A very practical outline we find in there, and we will make some general applications also. Psalm 1. This psalm is divided into two categories. Blessedness of a man of God. And it is made in contrast with man of the world. If you turn to Psalm 1, let us read verse 1 and 2. Now, some of you might have also memorized this psalm by heart. But there is something very practical we see as the Lord, through this particular portion of the scripture, would like to show us the distinction between the man of God and man of the world. Why should I be man of God, and what are the blessings of it, and what are the difficulties of it? As I was meditating afresh onto this portion of the scripture, this is what I found. If you come to chapter 1 and verse 1, first three verses, you have the blessedness of this man. Verse 4 and 5, you have the problems or the curse or the difficulties of this wicked man. You can put into four words, you know. 1, 2, 3, 4. First of all, the path of this man of God, his pursuit. Third, his picture. And fourth, his prosperity. If you look at verse 1, we find his path of separation. Let me say it like that. Path of separation. Verse 1. A man of God is blessed by God because of the four things that are mentioned in this first three verses. And the first of it, look at the path of his separation. In his path, there are three words used. Can you read that verse 1? Look at, in his path of separation, what is he concerned about? From where does he get his counsel, first of all? He does not take his counsel from the world. He avoids the worldly counsel. What do you mean by that? It's not still clear. There are three words used there, you know. His standing, and his walking. Three simple words. The life of man is summarized probably in these three words. All that you and I do in this world, walking, sitting, standing, walking, sitting, standing. Why these three words are used here? Because if you read in Psalms 139, you will find God is watching over our walking, sitting and standing, even sleeping, that Psalm. There is nothing that is hidden from the eyes of God. So, in all of his activities, he is very mindful and careful. As long as he lives in this world, he understands the path of separation is the best way for him to live. And the first of that, we find he does not take the counsel from the world. What do you mean by that? That means he does not bend his ears to the worldly philosophies, to the worldly principles, to the worldly psychology. He understood the best way for me to get counsel is from God and God's word. The word that I like very much in the scripture, if you read it in Psalms 119 and verse 24. Can you read that? Psalms 119 and verse 24.
Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors.
What do you mean by counselors? In the vernacular language, the word is used as ministers. Ministers are those who give advices, those who, you know, get things done, provide the solution. That's right. From where does the psalmist is taking his advices? Not from the world, not from the friends, not from the neighbors, not from the experienced people, but from whom? From the word of God. Thy word has become my counselor. He does not bend his ears to anything that is around us. Beloved, when you and I live in this world, you find these days is so much. You know, you talk of any subject, people have something to offer you always on any topic. And 1001 options, especially as far as small cities is concerned. Yeah. Oh, this is the problem. Acha, you can go to this person, you can go to that doctor, you can eat this, you can stop that. Oh, this is not good for you, that is good for you. So many advices. Not only that, even in our various walks of life, you'll find people talking about it. But from where should we get our counsel? A man of God knows in his path of separation, the best way for him is not to take counsel from the world. Not only that, look at the second thing mentioned there. He also avoids the worldly conduct. He does not sit, or he does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He knows that evil communication spoils good manners. So he avoids such people. Evil communication. And fourthly, evil companionship. Wrong friends. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Probably you may think, uncle, what is this new in it? What is that you are trying to tell us? Look at it. Simple words which we do in our everyday activity, if we are not careful of our walking, sitting and standing, which this person, the man of God, was concerned about maintaining the path of separation, can you tell me of an individual in the Bible? I always like to give an example from the Bible. Otherwise, there are many experiences which I have seen before my eyes, which I want to share with you also. In the Bible, there was a man who did not walk the way he should have walked. The Bible says he was walking afar off. I will give you the reference. And he is the same person. He was sitting where he should not have sat with. And he was warming himself. Then he was standing among those people, the group of people where he shouldn't have been standing. They were speaking against the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was standing with them. His walk was wrong, his sitting was wrong, and his standing was wrong. What happened? He denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. Who is he? Peter. You want those references? Just put it across. Mark 14:54. John 18:18. Luke 22:55. Mark 16:54. Am I correct? 1 minute. I made a mistake. Mark 14:54. Mark 14:54. Okay? That is his walk. Luke 22:55 and John 18:18. Do you know when you are liable to deny the Lord? Liable to turn your deaf ear to him? When you are walking, sitting and standing, you are not mindful of. When you neglect that, here is a man very close to the Lord Jesus Christ, heard the best sermons, seen the great miracles. Yet when the time came, I'm talking about the time that comes in your life and my life, he has bluntly denied the Lord. He has swearingly denied the Lord. He said, no, I don't know that man. I have no relationship with him. Can you imagine that? It is just because of these three things which he has neglected. Now, just remember what kind of friends you have. To whom do you go for counsel? To your neighbor? To the experienced people? To great men? From whom do you take your advices? Man of God will always turn to the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is the right source of direction for my life. Why I'm talking all this? You know why? Because a young man of your age, maybe younger to you, one or two years elder to you, 21 years of old, with us in the fellowship in Delhi. I was also young then, while in the Air Force. This young man, very fine believer, born again, baptized, regular in the assembly fellowship, very decent, very nice young man. But he had secret companionship. It happened so in his life that he was very sick. And on his sick bed, he shared the problem that was in his life to his sister. Parents were not there. I'm telling the incident. I have no stories. He shared with his sister and he said to her that he had company of friends with whom he was playing planchet. Have you heard the word planchet? Calling the evil spirits. So he was practicing that, and then he said he was coming and taking part in the Lord's Supper also. Taking part of the devil's table and also the Lord's table. He shared that with his sister. Why I'm telling you is, because the next day, he drank poison and committed suicide. He died a horrible death. But prior to that, I have seen him being overpowered with the evil spirit. He used to jump from the first floor. He used to hold an individual in a very different way, in a very different places. Horrible his behavior was towards the end of his life, and he committed suicide and died. Why I'm talking to young brothers and sisters like you? You know, you move outside in the world, people are filled with all such sorceries, black magic, planchet, and different games. If you have any such association with anybody, never participate with that. Be away from that. If any child of God continues in the table of the devil and also the table of the Lord, do you know Bible says there is punishment? That's why there are so many weak among you, Paul says. That's why there are so many sick among you. That's why there are so many asleep, gone to sleep among you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 29. Without examining our life, without living a separated life, in our walk, our talk, our conduct, our counsel, our communication, and also our companionship. If we continue like that, either we will be physically and spiritually weak first, and in that weakness, if we don't realize and repent and return to the Lord, if you continue in that, weakness will lead you to sickness, physical and spiritual. Then the injections are injected. You lie on the sick bed, look upward. Why? That you may be reminded of God, God's mercy, still repent and return to the Lord. If you don't do that, I have seen many good people who lived a double standard life. The Lord had to take them away from this world because he will not allow to mar the name of the Lord or his testimony in this world. That's why we need to live a separated life. How shall I urge and tell you that this path of separation Psalmist understood and he followed that? What is the pursuit of separation? What is that he did so that he could apply these things to his life? Can you read verse 2 here? Verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. What is the pursuit of separation? Look at his delight. The thing that he delighted is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. and his meditation. When you talk about that, what we find there is, he delighted to spend time in the Word of God. The pursuit of separation will be possible in your life and my life if only we spend time with God and God's Word. That's what he followed and he did. When I talk about that, you see the word that is used there, meditation. What is that meditation? That's a picture taken from the Old Testament. What is that picture from the Old Testament? If you read, just write down the reference, Leviticus 11 and verse 3. Leviticus 11, 3. If you read there, you will find it is a picture identified with a clean animal. What is that? An animal is called clean only if the hoofs of that animal are divided and the animal chews the curd. If either of that thing is missing, hoof not divided, Leviticus 11, 3, correct? And if it's not chewing the curd, that animal is not clean. So meditation is a picture taken from Leviticus 11:3. When you talk about the divided hoof speaks about the separated walk. And chewing of curd speaks about meditating in the Word of God. That is the source, that is the help, that is the way Psalmist followed in his life. Do you spend time in reading of the scriptures, studying the scriptures, meditating to maintain a clean and separated life, that we may be acceptable before God? How should you do that? Read that verse a little more. Can you read that? Same verse 2.
But he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he will do day and night.
Did you get that? I want to emphasize. You might be reading, you might be studying. I know. You must be going to the fellowship also. But there is something else Psalmist is doing there. Not only delighting, but I think he is disciplining himself. How? Because in his law doth he meditate. Once in a while. Yes? In his law, does he meditate? Once in a while. Day and night. What do you mean by that? He was disciplining himself. There is no laziness, no lapses, no compromises. Discipline in the life of a child of God is very important. Whatever may happen, at time with the Lord, I will not compromise. In his law, that he meditates day and night. Look at the third one. The picture of it. Verse 3. The picture is given of a tree planted by the riverside. What do you mean by that? That means a tree which will not wither, a tree which has all possibility of source or energy, always lively, always green, always beautiful, always fruitful. It's a picture of a tree planted by the riverside. That means if you study the Word of God, if you meditate on it, if you discipline yourself and do that, an energy. To be unmovable, not moving with every winds of doctrine, because your roots are gone deep. That's why fruits are seen in your Christian life. Ability will come, strength will come. And all of this is seen in this one. Danger of as people, you know, when they hear something new, there is no danger of winds of doctrine, there is no danger of withering as well. Look at the fourth one, verse 3 itself, the last part, the prosperity. What does it say? And whatever he does, he prospers. Now you think of yourself, how many things you have thought of doing, how many things you started, and how many things you have completed. You made many good decisions. You started also. A good diary is probably this time onward I'll start writing. This time onward I'll start reading. But maybe one day, 2 days, maybe a month, but then all collapsed. It's not only with you, but it's with me also. It can be with anybody if we are not disciplining ourselves. The part of separation, the pursuit of separation, the picture of separation, and the prosperity because of separation, in all that he was doing, he was prospering. Why? Simple example that is given before us. He was not lacking anything because he decided he will not only ponder the scriptures, but he will practice the scriptures. Now when I ask you of certain things and the other teachers ask, you reply very well from the Bible. You say the scripture, you say the references. Excellent. Not only pondering, but practicing is what is needed in this hour. Thomas was like this. But you look at the next person. The man of the word. You know, there is only danger in his life. And his destiny is also dangerous. About him, when the Bible says, verse 4. Can you read verse 4?
So they are not, but they are like cows in the
sight. Man of the world in the sight of God is like a chaff. What do you mean by chaff? Have you seen chaff? Yes? The skins of the grain. Yeah? Bhusa. Marathi mein, eh? Chaff. What is that? Chaff is something, you know, it's empty. First of all. Secondly, it is devoid of food. It is devoid of food. Thirdly, it is devoid of weight. Empty, devoid of food, and devoid of weight. So what it becomes? In every way it becomes worthless, useless, chaff. So what is spoken there about it in the same verse? There is no stability because there are no roots in it. It can be easily dislodged. For such a person, verse 5 says, can you read verse 5? They have no standing in the judgment. They have no participation with the righteous. The picture is before our eyes. Uncle, how do we really apply in our practical life even then? The path of separation. Man to be identified, distinguished by God. Making real determination to live a separated life from God. When it comes to the Old Testament, maybe this portion may not be familiar to you, so I was not touching that, but let me just touch and show you what does that really practically mean to us. Will you please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22? Let me just give you that also. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9. You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed or diverse seeds. Okay, next.
Or all the produce of the seed which you
Okay, first of all, it is spoken about the sowing of the seed. Next verse. Next, verse 10.
You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together.
You shall not plow, first of all, sowing, secondly, plowing, with ox and donkey. Okay, the third one.
You shall not wear material mixture of wool and linen together.
Wool and linen together. You shall not wear. Three things are spoken. You know what these three things speak about? Seed in the Bible is always the word, the teaching, for example. Do not mix the seed. Do not sow the mixed seed. What does it mean? Sowing mixed seed is forbidden. That means mixed teaching is forbidden. Secondly, mixed toiling is forbidden. Ox and donkey together. Why? There are a lot of differences. The ox wants to hit. How will it hit? With the? Attack with the? Sorry? Horns. Head. Yeah? And donkey? Leg. Ox? Which way? Donkey? Everything is different. And you will find this combination in the Bible is always used. Ox and donkey. Elsewhere. Where? Okay, I'll give you a clue. Isaiah chapter 1. Okay, I'll still give you a clue. I want you to know that because I know that you know it. In a song you know it. Ox knows the master. Donkey knows the ox knows the master. Donkey knows the manger. But my people do not know. How sad. Even God, when He talks about that, He compares with the same thing through prophet Isaiah. Ox and donkeys, ox and donkeys. What does that mean? If you are a child of God, you cannot do Christian ministry with those who simply take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No. If there are doctrinal differences, you cannot join hands with them. You cannot go anybody who takes the name of Jesus and have fellowship with them. No. No mixed teaching, forbidden. No mixed toiling, forbidden. You cannot go with those who do certain kind of ministry through different organizations and join with them in the service of the Lord. No, forbidden. The third one, you should not wear the clothes mixed with wool and linen. Both in the Bible always speak about what? Testimony. No mixed testimony. And that's why all these verses you can compare with our basic text of preparation, which is that the day when we wrote on the board. The basic text. Second, Corinthians chapter 6 verses 14 to 18 or 7:1. And the same verses all through the scripture we find applied together. That's why there are five questions asked. Light with darkness cannot have any fellowship. Christ with Belial cannot have any kind of fellowship. Five questions are asked there. Why? To make it emphatic and clear to us that all the things God wants us to avoid in our life. What are the three things I said? Mixed teaching. Mixed toiling. What's the third one? Mixed testimony. God says, thou shall not, thou shall not, thou shall not. Still, if you want to have something very practical, I was just thinking, when it has to apply to my personal life, maybe you can write down the first one. How do I apply all things personally? When my heart is always inclined towards evil, how do I apply it personally? Number one, application. Number one. Beware of loneliness. Beware of loneliness. Whenever you are alone, be very careful. She was alone, fell in sin. Eve. He was alone on the roof, fell in sin. Even Lord Jesus Christ was alone, temptation came to Him. Be very careful. Second, let others know your stand. Let others know you stand for God. Third, do not linger in the places of temptation. Do not linger in the places of temptation, but flee from them. But flee from them. Fourth, spend more time personally with the Lord. Spend more time personally with the Lord. And number five, whenever you are disturbed and alone and you find something is troubling you, make a call on your fellow believer. Spend time with believers. Spend time with the believers. And the Lord will help you and me to live a separated life which will bring glory to His name. Just look at this path of separation and we shall be able to live a life which will glorify the name of God in practice. Because the doers of the word are those who are blessed by the Lord. Are you ready for the test? Turn to the last page. Last page, quickly. True or false? Yeah? Only if we practice the principles and precepts to live a separated life, will they be helpful to avoid hazards in our spiritual life. Only if we practice the precepts and principles to live a separated life, will they be helpful to avoid hazards in our spiritual life. Number two, most of the problems we face in our spiritual life, not life, just life, most of the problems we face in our life is simply because of not choosing to follow the path of separation. Most of the problems we face in our life is simply because of not choosing the path of separation. Number three, we can mingle and fellowship with any if they name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can mingle and fellowship with any if they take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, it is impossible to live in this world and be not like the world. It is impossible to live in this world and be not like the world. Number five, if I do not maintain separation in my life and behavior, I will not be able to have an effective testimony. If I do not maintain separation in my life and behavior, I will not be able to have an effective testimony. The source, number six, the source for guidance or advices could be taken from good friends, teachers, neighbors, or experienced people. Got it? Next. The secret of prosperity is to spend time in the Word of God. The secret of prosperity is to spend time in the Word of God. Number eight. Systematic and regular study of the Word of God makes one stable and fruitful. Systematic and regular study of the Word of God makes one stable and fruitful. Number nine. Living a double standard life will make my life pathetic. Living a double standard life will make my life pathetic. Last, I need to be disciplined and dutiful. Dutiful, I said. In my worldly life to live a godly life. I repeat, I need to be disciplined and dutiful in my worldly life to live a godly life. Any other question? Any question you want me to repeat? Sorry? Last one. I need to be disciplined and dutiful in my worldly life to live a godly life. So please exchange. Okay, number one, true or false? Well, if we practice the precepts and principles to avoid hazards in our spiritual life. True or false? False. True or false?
True.
Only if we practice Mole, then only it can be helpful, no? To avoid things. Most of the problems we face in our life is simply because of not choosing to follow the path of separation. Next, we can mingle and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All. Next, if we leave, it is impossible to live in this world and be not like the world. All. If I cannot maintain separation in my life and behavior, I will not be able to have an effective testimony. True or false? But still you are able to have effective testimony. True or false? True. Nobody can have effective testimony. The source or guidance or advices could be taken from good friends, teachers, neighbors and experienced people. False. From where will you take? Sure. Not only for telling me and answering and getting marks, but in real practical life too. Next, the secret of prosperity is to spend time in the Word of God. True or false? Will you spend time to be prosperous? That's what was told to Joshua, okay? Joshua 1:9. Systematic and regular study of the Word of God makes me stable and fruitful. True or false?
True.
Next, living a double standard life will make my life pathetic. True. I need to be disciplined and dutiful in my worldly life to live a godly life. True or false? It's false. I need to be disciplined in my godly life. Okay, just change it and tell me. Uncle has already come. He has already given us 10 minutes graciously, you know that? Because we started class late. Anybody? I know.